creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
During the summer, experienced and talented staff from the Minneapolis-St. Paul, Minnesota YMCAs and otherwise across the country journey out to the Cheyenne River Reservation in teams of two or three to provide day activities for the children and the communities they visit. Working in coordination with the Sioux YMCA, these individuals provide fun activities to the community's youth. Today on Culture Click, we visit with the Senior Program Director of the Winona YMCA, who recently went on a two-week trip visiting the reservation. He will fill us in on what he experienced, gained, lessons he brought back home, and more. You're listening to Culture Click. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Chenseth.
I'm Robert Pack.
And we have Patrick Menton from the YMCA. You're the program director there.
I am senior program director at the Y.
Recently, the YMCA has started a new initiative. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Y has been connected with the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe for many years. Starting in 2006, they decided to deepen the bond with the area. And what they did was they helped to create an international staff development opportunity where the YMCA of the Greater Twin Cities has partnered up with the Sioux YMCA. And the idea was to come in and offer some help. Initially, they looked upon different resources. And as time went on, they realized what they really needed was work with kids. And that's one area that the YMCA is really good at helping with.
So when working with the kids, you have to travel then, obviously, right?
Yeah. What they have worked out for the past 8 years, basically it is a summer-long camp for kids. And the YMCA heads to Eagle Butte. They send groups of three for two-week staff development opportunities and two-week mission trips to work with kids. So really, since 2006... the Y has been programming through up to 18 different communities in the Cheyenne River.
Can you share with us a little bit about your experience out there, what you experienced, and was it what you thought it would be?
We went through a couple days of training with the YMCA of the Greater Twin Cities and staff who have previously been on these trips. So the training consisted of learning about the values, different belief systems, and ultimately what our goal was. And it was the Y has a very simple goal there, and it's to program with kids. It's to play with kids. That's what we're doing. The plan has nothing to do with saving the world. It is just simply making an awesome summer for kids. I think that the Y has developed such a strong presence there in the communities. We found out early on that it's... we didn't expect to be a very trusted group coming in. I mean, because what it looks like when we roll into town in a minivan and we've got myself and two other staffers jump out.
Suspicious.
I mean, suspicious, yeah. it would be. But what the Y has done so well is programming to that one thing, making an awesome summer for kids. I mean, they've gotten rooted enough in the communities where there's a high level of trust between the Y. With the people in the community, so they're very welcoming. I mean, it's the coolest thing. The van pulls up in town, and these communities, it's like something many people have never seen. I mean, you'd be driving. We'll drive for an hour or so from Eagle Butte, and going through just beautiful rolling grassy terrain, and it's just gorgeous. And come up over a hill, and you look down, and you'll see this community, and some of them are 10 houses, 10 to the largest one. Cherry Creek probably maybe is 150 houses in there, but most of them were very small. And you look down and you see these houses, and there's not a gas station, there's not a store, there's definitely not a YMCA. I mean, you're never going to see a Starbucks in that area, you know. So you pull up, and kids will just come running out of their door, and they're yelling YMCA, and they just come running up. I mean, because since 06. I mean, that's been the Y presence, so that's all they know of the Y.
What kind of activities did you do with the kids?
We come in with a structured plan. There's this catch curriculum that has specific games and activities that are designed to keep kids mobile, keep them moving. So we would use a bit of the catch curriculum, and we'd also come in with our own talents and ideas, but basically you're playing games for a couple hours in each community. We'd hit two communities a day. So you go and play for a couple hours and then pack up, roll out to the next one. We have this minivan that is just packed full of play gear. I mean, and it's all this stuff. It's not specific to being on the reservation. It's just stuff you'd see at any YMCA, park and rec. You got gallons of bubbles and buckets for water games and water balloons and arts and crafts. And you got jump ropes and hula hoops and just you name it. We pull in, kids come running out and open the hatch and start pulling out the fun stuff. And so from the kids' angle and from what the parents see is that we're running around and having fun and being goofy with the kids. But behind that, there's so much more. I mean, the idea is that, you know, type 2 diabetes there is rampant. I mean, the death rate for males is extremely low, shockingly low. So we want to give these kids some healthy role models and healthy activities.
On a personal note, what did you enjoy most about going out on the trip?
So it was hard work, emotionally hard work, because you'd see some of the living conditions these kids are in. What I enjoyed the most about it was just seeing the cheer and happiness on these kids' faces. And it really got me thinking heavily about what is happiness. I mean, what is real happiness? Because the kids there, there's not a whole lot going on out there. I mean, the Y comes in and we play with the kids and they have a great time. And then they go back to doing whatever it is they're doing. It's playing video games in their house. But other than a playground that's in each community, that's pretty much it, you know. So I got a much better understanding of what I think happiness is, because I look at it in perspective with my own kids, and they want their iPad time and video games and all this stuff. You know, they're complaining about chocolate milk and all this kind of things. And I'm thinking, okay, these kids there don't have so many of those things, but the kids seemed happy. I mean, they seemed truly, truly happy. So it made clear that you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have physical possessions aren't going to make happiness. You know, what was it? And I think it was having just that bond with the kids and giving them that experience that, and I think if you could like rate their happiness, which I'm sure psychologists are able to do, I don't think they're any happier there at their playground playing with us than they would be anywhere else at Valley Fair or Disneyland. I don't think that would be.
Well, I think what's interesting is you're right. You know, you go out there and the residents are truly happy. You look at their conditions and you look at, you know, your personal conditions, and you realize just how inexpensive true happiness mm-hmm. really is. And it's a learning experience, and it's a moving experience.
At the same time, on some of the reservations, there have been talks of problems with actual drugs, with, and you were talking about diabetes, mm-hmm. right, and health. In the community you were at, you primarily saw the diabetes aspect?
Yeah, just across the whole area. Okay. I mean, it's rampant. And the problem is, so you live in this community with 10 other houses. A few people have cars. The nearest grocery store is in Eagle Butte, which could be from a half hour to an hour and a half away. Well, how are you going to get your groceries? You don't just cruise over to
right.
Midtown or Hy-Vee. We bought a small package of grapes for $7. So what are you going to buy on such a limited income? There's no jobs in the area. So you have a few dollars that you're going to spend. Are you going to spend $7 on grapes? Or are you going to buy a box of whatever junk food that will feed your kids and your family?
Hot dogs and mac and cheese.
Hot dogs yeah. and mac and cheese.
Yeah, you know? Makes sense. Where were you staying during all this? Because you're saying you're hitting up two communities a day.
Yeah, two different communities a day. Our service area was 5,400 square miles.
Wow,
yeah,
that's a huge, big area.
Huge so chunk.
Were you spending a night in a different place each time?
So what we did, the Sioux YMCA that's out of Dupree, which is basically, it's a YMCA, but it's really kind of like a summer day camp area. I mean, they've got a facility, it's got a computer lab, a little bit of program area. And then kids come in and hang out for the day, and they do guided activities and go home. So the Sioux YMCA is partnered with the Greater Twin Cities Wise. And then they put us up in Eagle Butte. And Eagle Butte's maybe a half hour from Dupree. So those are the two biggest communities in the area. And then us operating out of Eagle Butte, each day we'd pack up and then head to these communities 30 minutes to an hour and a half away. Throughout the years that the Y's been there, they've been fine-tuning which communities we hit based on who's there and how many people are there, and then the best plan for driving. So we'd hit a couple communities on the east side one day, and then alternate every other day to different communities. But so we never stayed. But in those communities, there isn't a place to stay. I mean, like I said, there's not a gas station. There's nothing else except the houses. The largest community that was Rose Creek did have a clinic, and then in like a tire shop there was it. But it's so hard to fathom. You know, friends back here are saying, well, why don't they just get a job? Because that sounds easy, because we could all walk somewhere and hopefully have the skills to land a job here in town. But, you know, I try to tell them there isn't jobs. There is nothing on the communities other than a handful of houses. You know, so where do you go?
So are the children homeschooled then? Because you bring up a point if there's not stuff.
They do have schools in the area, and they'll bus to the schools, but the kids could sit on the bus for an hour. They get, you know, so there's no school inside each of these communities, but right. The buses will come through and pick up kids and head out.
One of the issues that Crow Creek is facing are the home. There's a lot of mold with the home there because there are a lot of families in one home. Is that something that you saw?
Yeah, and a real positive thing that we noticed is there was on these small communities, we're seeing new roofs being put on, metal roofing was going on. Some are getting new siding, which is really nice. And from what we're told, it's the second poorest county in the United States. But there's grant money available, and so I'm not sure exactly how it's being done, but we're seeing that positive effect on some of the places getting fixed up a bit.
Yeah, because when you don't have the money to do that, right. Or the jobs, you know, and you're living in these cramped conditions, mm-hmm. You know, things wear down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, where do you go? You don't just cruise over to Home Depot and... you know, pick up some roofing supplies.
What did you learn about the different culture?
You know, we didn't really spend much time with the adults. I mean, our focus being specifically on right. On playing with kids. But we were fortunate to attend a powwow in Dupree, and we were there for the closing ceremony of it. Just one of the most beautiful, beautiful things. The dress, we saw a couple different dresses, and they do different styles of dance, but just the pride. And we were watching the kids on the second day. So culturally, the most interesting thing was hitting up that powwow and just watching the performance and just seeing how much they put into it.
You had brought up, you know, emotionally, what did he take mm-hmm. away from that? Did you change any of your habits when you got home? Or did you look at things differently?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, right away when I got home, and it was 2 weeks, and I didn't think it was going to be that big of a shock.
It's a long time though, really.
It was enough to just put a lot of things into perspective, you know, things I was spending money on and things I was worried about. And then I'd think back to some of the kids playing in the parks and what they had and didn't have in comparison. I'm thinking parts of my life were really not as worth stressing over.
And I know that you have a family at home, and were you able to keep in constant contact with them?
I'd call home, and cell service was pretty good in most of the areas, but it was hard. They kept asking, well, what's it like? And until you walk down the streets and play with the kids and bring what you know of from here there, it's just hard to put it into words. From some of the struggles that we'd see with the kids, you know, a lot of kids running around, you know, barefoot and just not having some of the basic needs that we have covered here. But going back to that happiness bit, it's like it doesn't affect them in that sense. They just seem to be loving life, I guess. You know, what's the future? I think the biggest problem for them is just this generational poverty. They're just stuck in that, in the rut. And where do you go? And again, it takes me back to what the point of the Y being in there is, making for an awesome summer for these kids. So we weren't there trying to save them or fix them, but it's hard not to
want to do that or something. I would think that it would be the hardest thing for me to do is be like, okay, I'm going to go in and I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix this and mm-hmm. make it better for everybody, you know, but being able to just respect the boundary, so to speak, and know where your place is and do what you came out there to do would be part of the biggest challenge, I would think.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different groups that come through, church groups that come through that'll roof buildings and donate shoes and this and that. But they tend to be more transient. They come and go. Not really sure. You know, they're not on to the level of commitment that the Y's had for the last bunch of years. So, and they're doing great things. The church is doing great things out there. But the Y's brought the consistency to it, which I think has been fantastic. But it's hard not to, you know, you see, I'm thinking of one area we see dogs. This one dog had all these porcupine quills all around its mouth, hanging off. And I'm thinking, how can Terry Market not want to go down and save this dog? You know? I mean, it's just like everybody would want to do that. It's just heartbreaking. And you'd see the animals just all, like dogs all over the place running, open wounds on them. And you don't know if, we would go to the kids and asking these little kids, you know, is that dog safe? Can we brown this dog? Because some of you just don't know, you know, but yeah.
Different world.
It's a different world.
It's really third world conditions in our own backyard.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of people, unless you actually go there, you have really no idea what it's like.
Now, Robert, for people who don't know, people are attached to the land, right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's their home. In some cases, it's considered a safe place because it's familiar. You're, you know, surrounded by your own culture and friends and family. And so some don't want to, you know, don't want to leave for that reason. However, many have moved on, go to college, join the military. In fact, what's interesting is the largest group of percentage-wise of a group joining the military are Native Americans. So a lot join the military, go to school, and then they go back to their reservation and try to help their families and their friends and their. So it's different. You kind of talk about the Y has been there since 2006, and that's one thing that you know, you probably learned rather quickly that it takes that long to develop that trust to show, you know, we mean what we say, we're doing it every year. Talked about the reaction from the kids. What kind of reaction did you get from the parents?
Yeah, you know, we only saw a handful of the parents. A few of them were flagged ahead of us in the community that we should check in with, and that's what we do. We'd pull into a couple of the houses, stop in, chat with the parents, and we were always looking to find more opportunities, so more people to network with. But ultimately, it was about getting more kids to come out and play. So each community had probably at least one kind of loosely called contact person, and they're extremely supportive. So we would either come across that contact person who was really, really into what was going on, or other parents that we didn't really have much contact with. They didn't really have much to say with us, but they would push their kids out the door. So, you know, so clearly it's okay that we're there.
It's not like, knock, knock, can I play with your kids?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know if that happened here in town, people would be raising some eyebrows. Okay. And that was a very strange thing for us too, because we'd pull up, three people in the van, one would drive through this little tiny community, very slow. And so the van's easily recognizable. We'd paint the sides of it, and the kids would paint all whatever, sign their names on it and everything. And then the other two staff would get out and walk together. And literally, if you saw a bike out in front or a toy, a bucket, anything, you'd go up and you'd knock on the door and you'd say, hey, we're here at the Y. Kids want to come out and play? And the kids would come out running, and we'd send them to pick up more kids. I mean, it was a very natural, organic way that it's just like when we were kids and you'd run around the neighborhood. And
can Timmy come out and play? Yeah.
Get your buddies. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you do this again?
Oh, I'd love to do it again. So the Winona Y has partnered up. Thanks to Derek Madsen, the new executive director, as of a year ago. So he is on the Sioux YMCA Board of Trustees, and he went the second year. So he helped shape and develop the programs to what it is now. So he's deeply committed to it. Our Y is now a partner Y with that, as is there's another Y from out east. So I most likely won't get the opportunity to go again, but we'll hope that another staff person at our Winona Y would apply for it and then be accepted to it.
Great. If people wanted to know more information, is there a website for this?
Yeah, yep. Or they Facebook? Can look up, go on Facebook and look up the Sioux YMCA initiative. we want people to go to the Sioux YMCA Facebook page and like their page. And they got a lot of fun stuff, and you can just see it right there. You can pull up all the pictures. We've got a lot of pictures that I posted on our Winona Family YMCA Facebook page. But yeah, go check it out. There's some really cool stuff happening with kids.
Well, thanks so much for taking time to tell us about the wonderful program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Thanks again to Patrick Menton, Senior Program Director for Winona's YMCA, for visiting with us on Culture Click. More information on the YMCA Sioux Initiative can be found on Facebook by searching YMCA Sioux Initiative and by visiting Winona's YMCA Facebook page as well. I'm Terry Tunseth, along with Robert Pack, and you've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.